Welcome to Bigger Than Business, where you'll discover real-world stories of business owners living their purpose. This is the podcast for anyone who wants their success to be about more than just money. In these interviews, you'll encounter men and women all over the world who draw strength and resilience from understanding why they do what they do and how they remain true to that purpose through the ups and downs that every business owner will eventually face. In each episode, you'll see your convictions can propel your actions in the marketplace. We'll explore why success is grander, broader, and far more fulfilling when it is driven by a vision beyond oneself. Get ready to explore how your life can be bigger than business.
How do you rise above being raised in the poorest county in the United States, Cameron County, Texas, becoming the owner of the largest, most highly rated auto leasing company in the United States with over $1 billion in leases under management, a group of auto dealerships, a finance company, real estate holdings, and several other related businesses? Hello, I'm your host, Jeff Holler, founder and CEO of the Capital Chart Room. Mike Hernandez wanted to be an engineer, but when he graduated from Texas A&M University, the oil bust of 1983 set him on a different path that led to his eventual ownership of D&M Leasing, the nation's premier auto leasing company, and several other flourishing enterprises. Listen in as Mike imparts how running a business is similar to running a college football team, and what it takes to grow a company that earns a massive 78% of its business through satisfied, repeat customers and their referrals. You'll also learn what it means to come full circle as Mike shares how he is leading a mission to transform Cameron County, Texas into an economically thriving community by focusing on education, job creation, and excellent social services, and how he came to serve on the Texas A&M Board of Regents. Good afternoon. I have with me today Mike Hernandez. Mike is the owner of Hernco, a group of companies that includes the largest and most highly rated auto leasing company in the United States, D&M Leasing. Hernco also owns Four Stars Auto Dealership Group, Four Stars Finance Company, several commercial real estate entities, and a number of other related companies. Mike is also leading a massive initiative to transform Cameron County, Texas, the poorest county in the entire United States, to an economically and socially thriving community. This is being accomplished through vastly improving education and training, job creation, civic engagement, and social services. Mike graduated from and now serves on the Board of Regents of Texas A&M University. Mike is a highly respected and energetic visionary who also has a unique ability to lead the teams and processes that he puts into place to execute his plans. Welcome to Bigger Than Business, Mike.
Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, so the most important question, Tri, that many of our Texas listeners will want to know is, will the Texas A&M and University of Texas Board of Regents ever get together to reinstitute the annual Aggie Longhorn football game?
That's a good question. And obviously, I'm only one of nine regents. But I can tell you from my perspective, I think it's good for the state of Texas for this game to be played. I don't, you know, we both schools have the other mentioned in their fight song. You know, it's a tradition. I don't know that we can ever play again, being in different conferences. I don't know that we could ever play at the end of the year at Thanksgiving again, because at that point, you know, UT is going to be focused on trying to win their conference, and we're going to be focused on trying to win ours and hopefully beyond that. And so, you know, it wouldn't make sense to throw a game in at the very end of the season, in my opinion. But playing each other, you know, the second game of the season every year, I think that's something that should be visited. And I'd like to line up against them every year and see who's better.
All right. I love it. I hope you guys can make that happen. I think the state of Texas would love to see that. So on a different note, you know, you graduated from Texas A&M and started your career. Tell us how you initially became involved in the auto industry.
Well, when I first got out of A&M, I was class of 83. So in 1983, that was the beginning of the first major oil bust. And I, like a lot of students, were kind of looking towards engineering, because everybody was the highest paying jobs at the time were engineers that were getting placed in the anything having to do with the energy business. Well, when that happened, then there weren't any jobs, you know, and I wasn't like a 4.0 student. So let's say that there were very few jobs to be found at the time. So I did was able to get a job in Houston. I worked there for about a year for a fluid power distributor, and was barely making over the poverty line. And so a friend of mine worked for a dealer group that had a little leasing company, and he had worked there for a little while and was getting ready to move on to something else and said that they were looking. And so I said, well, you know, I don't really want to be in the car business per se. That's not why I went to A&M. And I asked him how much he made, and he told me, and I said, okay, well, I could try that for a few months. And I've been doing it ever since, honestly. And so not that some of the things that I learned in my degree didn't help, but yeah, I kind of didn't plan on going into the car business. It just happened.
Now, was that D&M leasing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you had to obviously interview the two owners of D&M leasing were two legendary auto dealers in Texas, Don Davis and David Moritz. And they obviously liked you. They hand selected you to run that leasing company that was in its infancy at the time. It was only a couple years old at that time, if I remember correctly.
Well, I can tell you that it initially started just as a department. It was a leasing department for Moritz Cadillac Oldsmobile when he first came in. Mm-hmm. And it was a department just for the companies that wanted to come in and lease fleets or maybe Cadillacs at the time for their executives and things like that. So they were more geared towards business leases. And then when Don Davis came down, Don came from the same group, the Bob Moore Auto Group in mm-hmm. Kansas. When he came down, that Moritz did, when he came down, then Moritz and Davis split up the Cadillac and Oldsmobile. And Davis took Oldsmobile and Moritz took Cadillac. And so we continued to do the leasing for the two dealerships. But again, it was just a small company. It was probably maybe, it wasn't even a company. It was a department that was probably five of us there.
But still, as a young man, to be given that kind of responsibility by Don and David, I know both Don and David, and they, as I mentioned, are legendary, outstanding auto dealers, and to select you to run that department, which eventually became a company, was a pretty nice compliment, a great responsibility. What did you learn from those two guys?
Well, they were both phenomenal business people in their own way. I would say Don Davis was probably the best car man I ever met. I mean, he knew exactly how to run a dealership. He knew the car business itself. He could bid cars. I mean, he's a car guy, and he was very good at it, and he was a no-nonsense auto dealer. David Moritz is also an auto dealer, understands the business and all that. He was more of a businessman overall. Not that Don wasn't involved in other businesses and successful, but he was first and foremost a car guy. David was more of a businessman and was very successful, obviously, in the car business, but also in a lot of different ventures, real estate and others. And so being around guys like that, you know, you can learn a lot if you just keep your mouth shut and pay attention.
Well, they obviously were impressed by you to give you the responsibility they did. You know, as every business owner knows, building a business from the ground floor up is hard and risky work. We'll talk in a second about how eventually it became your business. But, you know, what are some valuable lessons you learned building D&M from the early days?
Well, there is a lot of risk. And there's you know, sometimes you never want to dampen anybody's enthusiasm, a young person's enthusiasm or all that. And everybody wants to be the owner of the business, and they see all the good side of it. The hard side of it is you are oftentimes risking a lot. And when you have a family, it makes it even more risky. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have to believe in yourself and follow your faith, follow what you believe, you know, and usually, you know, some people call it going with their gut. You know, that's probably, you know, I don't call it that, but that does have something to do with it. And you can feel when it's right and you can feel when it's not right. And as long as you don't try to talk yourself into or out of something, usually it works out. But, you know, everybody has a purpose.
Yep.
And
What I've seen in you is over the years, a lot of confidence, and it takes a lot of confidence to own a business. And you know, you made a decision at one point and you talked Don and David into allowing you to buy them out to become the 100% owner, and knowing what that risk was, but you had confidence that you could do some things with that business. And you have. You've built it into the largest, most highly rated auto leasing company in the entire United States, which is incredible. And my understanding is we have right at $1 billion in car leases under management, which is a big number.
Well, we have a lot of customers, happy customers. 78% of our business that we do is repeat and referral. So we do a lot of advertising, and that's another risk that you take because you can go broke advertising. Yeah. You really can. And so, but all the advertising that we do still, and I say that proud in a proud way, it still only constitutes 30 to 35% of our business. Oh,
that's excellent. So 70%?
Yeah.
Repeat 70 business and referral.
Yeah. More like 78%.
Wow. Yeah. Any business would love to have that kind of ratio.
Well, that is what we built the company on. And the beauty of it is, you know, auto leasing, the product itself inherently is set up for, you know, at the end of the term, the customer decides what they want to do. What we do is we set it up for their trade cycle. So mm-hmm. When they historically get to the point where they want a new car for whatever the reason is, you know, lifestyle changes, just want to upgrade, want to downsize, whatever mm-hmm. it is, it seems like every 3 or 4 years, that's what people like yeah. to do, something different. Mm-hmm. And so as long as you set it up so that they can do that easily and inexpensively, there's no reason for them to go someplace else unless they're not happy.
Well, I want to dig in that a little bit because you make it sound easy, but there's a lot of competition out there in your space. There are a lot of people going after those leases. And so your customers, when they get ready to roll off lease, they have a lot of choices, obviously. So one of the keys to your success has to be what you do with the client, your client service, your customer service. That's got to be huge.
Well, we view ourselves as the customer's advocate in the car business. You know, while we do own a number of dealership lines ourselves, we really don't push any particular make or model. We push whatever we sell the concept of leasing, the idea, the lifestyle of leasing, mm-hmm. getting a new vehicle every, like I said, 3 or 4 years, doing it for the most for the least amount of money out of your pocket possible to accomplish what you want to do. You know, you don't drive around with it and says a big sign on the back, I'm leasing this and I'm buying it. Those days are, you know, I think are gone mm-hmm. where people are overly concerned about that kind of stuff. It's about just being smart with your money.
Yeah. That's well. And again, the customer service that you guys provide to keep those clients, 78% repeat business.
That's
incredible. That's
almost
unheard of.
Like I said, with the advocate part of it, that includes us monitoring the market, monitoring what you have paid your lease down to, and making sure that when it gets within a certain delta, so to speak, mm-hmm. of each other, we're on it. We're calling, we're making sure that you're aware of that and giving you options in case you want to do something early. If you don't want to, keep doing what you're doing. But it's our job to bring you options. And as long as we're doing that and we're making it easy and we're delivering it to your front door and you can do all the paperwork on your iPad, why would somebody want to go someplace else? I hope.
Yeah. Well, clearly they don't. Yeah. Clearly we don't because I'm also
a long time client and good friend.
Yeah. So do you mind sharing any other keys to success? I know that in your company, your training of your people is a huge priority because you want to have the right people in the right job and provide the right service. And I know I think that's one of the keys. Am I right in that, or are there any other keys as well?
You're right on. And what's interesting is because we're friends, we both know that. We're college football fans, mm-hmm. and that Jeff is a Florida State man, and we just got Jimbo.
Coach. Yeah, yeah.
But I think we both can agree that, you know, running a business, I've found, is very, very similar to running a college football team. There's a lot of similarities in my mind to sport with sports and business and even military. I think the strategy and the hierarchy and the chains of command and things like that, and everybody has their job. I believe in that. And, you know, just like Jimbo has to go out and recruit the best talent he can. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the best talent? Well, in his mind, it's a certain things that he's established over his career that he says, if this candidate meets these requirements in my system, they're a perfect fit. It's exactly what we do when we recruit salespeople. And just like Jimbo, you know, not that Jimbo has never coached offensive line. He probably has. Not that I've never leased cars. I leased you, yep. One of your cars. You know, it's not so much that was I an All-American leasing agent, or was I just a good leasing agent who understood the business and then wanted to pursue another? And so I, just like Jimbo, I've done, I think, a lot of the assistant coaches' jobs, mm-hmm. and the coordinators. Mm-hmm. I view them as the people that, you know, really do the day to day and work with the people and get the most out of them.
Yeah.
Just like a coach would, you know. Jimbo can't do that with every single player. He has to depend on his staff. And our sales managers are there to bring the prospect and help him meet his potential, so he can make the kind of money that he wants to make, support his family, live the kind of lifestyle that they want to make. And really, we help each one of our agents build their own business within our business, mm-hmm. so that they have a loyal customer base that comes to them for all their car needs. And that's what they do.
It's a great analogy, the sports analogy. I mean, that's fantastic. And, you know, you're known as a great leader, but you're also known for having a knack to hire those right coordinators, to hire those right leaders, managers that are going to run the business. Mm-hmm. And also to get the right people in the right job. You mentioned that. That's huge. And,
yes.
And you've got a unique, really great, unique ability to do that. So what do you look for or process do you use when hiring someone?
Well, it depends on the position. You know, if we're trying to find a sales agent, we have very specific things that we're looking for, specific traits. We do personality profiles. We look at basically their lifestyle. We like people that, for example, are married. We like people that are married and have kids. Why? Because they're usually, you know, a little more serious about their careers. Not that we don't hire single people or anything like that, but besides personality traits that we kind of identify, we also look just at the overall person to make sure that they culturally are a fit. And and like you said, you know, not everybody is made out to be the head coach. Some people are really good at sales, but they're not necessarily good at the operational side of the business. And so everybody has their strengths. And that's what I try to focus on. And their weaknesses, as long as the weaknesses, it doesn't have anything to do with lack of morals or something like that, I can work with somebody if they really want to, you know, be the best they can at whatever it is that they're really good at.
That's
and leave the other stuff for the other people that are good at that kind of stuff. Because usually you don't find someone who's really good at sales, for example, mm-hmm. not at the level mm-hmm. that we're talking about, that are great accountants,
right?
You know, or good with financial forecasts and, yep. and analysis and things like that. Everybody has their place and everybody's just as important. And if we do all that, you know, if I can keep that together, that's where the success, I think,
yeah,
comes from.
You've been so successful and so good and so well known for that talent, that unique ability. You've got a great team that helps you run the company. Right. In addition to D&M Leasing, over time you've integrated auto dealerships, real estate holdings, a finance company, and other companies into the Hernco group of companies. How are you able to effectively oversee the ongoing growth and success of the Hernco group of companies while also being so deeply involved in transforming Cameron County and serving on the Texas A&M Board of Regents?
Well, as I said, I think previously that the key to any success, there's not any one key, I don't want to be frivolous about it, but one of the most important things, in my opinion, is having good, solid organizational skills. If you're not organized or have some kind of system that organizes everything you're doing not only for a daily, your daily task for today, but effectively your calendar going forward. Seems pretty basic, but it's surprising sometimes to see how many people don't have that. Of course, the second thing is I could obviously, no matter how organized I am, do all this by myself. And so I have a wonderful team of, you know, with regard to each one of these companies. I have a leader who comes from that business, who understands that business. You know, I have just tremendously educated and experienced people like yourself and other people on the family planning team. And so, you know, it's a matter of surrounding yourself with people that are a lot smarter than you and letting them do their thing and keeping yourself and the overall operation organized.
Yeah, and I can attest in working with you all these years to one how finely tuned your organizational skills are. It blows me and everybody that knows you away how much you do and how well you do it. And then your team, you, I mean, it's not just words. You've surrounded yourself with great people. You've got great leaders in your organization that have really helped you. But you're the guy that sets the vision. You're the guy that's had the vision and they bought into it.
That's right.
And helped you make it happen.
Yes.
But, you know, it takes a leader at the top, and you've been a phenomenal leader for that group of people.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
So looking back, Mike, what family life and work experiences prepared you to have such great success? I mean, this just doesn't happen overnight.
Honestly, I think adversity is what it prepared me the most. And I know that's so cliche and so common to say. And I think because it shapes everyone, you know, it's, yeah, I like you didn't grow up necessarily, I didn't grow up with dirt floors, but you know, we didn't come from a particularly, wealthy area of the country. And, you know, I would say my father made enough just to pay the bills and to get us through school, and he did a darn good job of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was blessed with dyslexia, with ADHD, I'm half colorblind. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. Jeff. And so I've always kind of had to figure out ways to get the job done when I wasn't physically or whatever able to do it the normal way. And so I think that, you know, that's the way God made me. That's the way he made me, like that for a reason. And so it's helped me to think creatively. It's made me think creatively. And but again, I think that's why God made me the way he was, because he wanted to prepare me for what I'm doing now. And I couldn't be doing what he wants me to do now if I hadn't gone through all the things, much like yourself and everybody else. Yeah. And so I think I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do.
Yeah. That's a great perspective, Mike. I mean, and it's common among successful business owners that it may look easy from the outside, but it's not easy.
Oh, no.
It is not easy. There's blood, sweat, and tears all around us. But, you know, a lot of people will use some of the things that you had to deal with, you know, how you started, dyslexia, some of the learning abilities, ADHD, all those things as an excuse.
Yeah.
You know, yet, you know, you look at it as, you know, God gave me that so I could figure out how to be successful around it.
Yeah.
And what you did is finally tune the things you needed to do to overcome that.
And realizing what your deficiencies are. Mm-hmm. And then finding, you know, I like to say finding friends who are really strong in that area,
mm-hmm.
that want to build something with you.
Yeah, that's great. That's such a great perspective. I really appreciate you sharing that. Mm-hmm. So if one of our listeners who's building a business were to ask, they haven't achieved your level of success yet, they're building, and they were to ask you, what's the most valuable advice you can offer me? What would that be?
I mentioned the organizational part. I mentioned surrounding yourself with, you know, people that truly don't be intimidated by people that are smarter than you. You know, everyone has a gift. Some it's details in accounting. Some it's more, you know, broader. Others it's on the enforcement side, you know. Others are on the cheerleader side. You know, everyone has the strength and the weaknesses that God gave him. And I keep bringing up God because obviously, I mean, we're kind of glossing over it, but if you don't have that, you know, to lean on, there is absolutely no way that I could have made it through all the things that are required to do what you're talking about. Whether even with all the help and all the good people and everything, if I didn't have my faith, I you and I have discussed it. I'd be dead right now. Yeah. Because you can't handle it yourself. You're destined to fail.
Yeah, and again, I can attest to that because I've seen you go through some very challenging times in the business, especially in 2007, 2008, when the banks wanted to bank back out of your business, leasing business, and you were one bank away from being out of business, basically. Yeah. Tough challenge and how important your faith was to you at that point and how got you through it and the peace you had that you'd get through it one way or another. And when you talk about adversity, it also reminded me how that adversity helped you create some programs, some ideas to make sure that never happened again and to make the company stronger and better. And the company's just taken off since then.
Without a doubt, I know how simplistic it sounds, but everything happens for a reason. And I've always been a believer in that. You don't like it at the time. Mm-hmm. You question sometimes yourself and everything at the time. But deep down, you know, it's going to be all right because it's not just happening to you. You know, it was happening to everybody, you know, and so it put me in a position where I had to be extremely creative about how to survive and then what's the future after that? What are we going to do to keep it just from happening again? And so, you know, that's part of it. Well, and that's the part I'm talking about. And if you don't have that faith to get through those times that are inevitably going to come.
Yeah, I saw what your source of strength was then, and it wasn't your own self. It was clearly your faith. You made that very clear to me as well, and I really admire you for that, for a lot of things, and that's one of them. So, Mike, finally, and you may have already just covered this, but most importantly, what's motivated you all these years to achieve such outstanding success? I mean, what's bigger than business for Mike Hernandez?
Making an impact, you know, not living a life where you leave with more than you came with, you know. Mm-hmm. I think we really are here to serve others. God, I believe, understands and wants us to be happy and successful in whatever that means to us. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. To me, it means a good family. It means, yes, financially being in a position where I don't have to worry. Being in a position, a extremely fortunate position, where I can help other people, mm-hmm. and truly realizing, and this is the hardest thing to do, it's easy to say, but realizing that the money and the things and the assets and the things that you have aren't yours.
Yeah.
They really are. God's lending them to you during your lifetime, and he wants to see what you're going to do with it. And he wants you to enjoy it, but to also help others enjoy their lives as well, as best you can. You can't save the world. You can't support everybody, but you know when it's time and when you can't say no. You know, we discussed the church came to me at the time during 2009 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they needed like $40,000. And that was a lot of money at that time. But they needed it to keep the school open. And if not, then the school where my daughter was going to school was going to close. I didn't mean I could put her in public school or whatever. But, you know, I knew we'd be all right.
And so at a time when you weren't totally sure of the future of your business, the church was in deep need and you just felt the peace that you could do it and you'd be okay. Yeah. That's incredible. And again, that goes back to the strength you got from your faith. And to those listening, again, I'm a witness to all this. I can attest to it. It's not a, Mike hasn't been about just frivolously, that's the wrong term, but giving to a wide variety of things. The D&M and his companies make a huge impact in the community. He makes a huge impact with his employees, his team members. But Mike has, you know, God has led him to some very specific initiatives that he could choose to be obedient and follow that seemed impossible, like Cameron County. if we don't have the time to go into detail on that.
I thought it was just Cameron County.
Yeah, and now it's expanded now with the Texas A&M Board of Regents.
Yeah, so that's the whole border.
So, but it's incredible. Mike, you know, made decision. He felt like that's where God wanted him. He was obedient, and it's amazing what God's achieving through Mike and his work here in Fort Worth in the community, in the Metroplex, in Dallas, in the Mid-Cities, as well as in other parts of Texas and the country. So, Mike, really appreciate everything you are, everything you do. It's a pleasure to get to work with you, and I appreciate you being so open and transparent and sharing with our listeners today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for tuning in to Bigger Than Business. To hear our latest episodes, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or your favorite podcast provider. Do you know a successful business owner who you believe is achieving their purpose in life and want to recommend them for Jeff to interview? Please visit our website at thecapitalchartroom.com and let us know. And remember, in life, always create a vision for your success that is bigger than business.